President Trump and his NATO frenemies battle it out over trade and defense contributions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. First, President Trump is now proposing 10% tariffs on a further $200 billion worth of Chinese goods, including car parts and toilet paper, possibly by September. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell has reaction from Beijing.
The thing that is crucially different about Mr. Trump and why this NATO summit is like no other in the alliance's history is that Mr. Trump seems unconvinced that NATO delivers security to the United States. The US is not simply spending money over the past decades on defending its allies in Europe out of the goodness of its heart. It did so because it believed that there was an intrinsic benefit to US national security by spending that money. Mr. Trump, with his idea of America First, seems to be setting a very different tone, and that is what is worrying many European leaders.
Now, President Trump's visit has big implications for trade as well. Marianne Schneider-Petzinger is a geoeconomics fellow at the London-based think tank Chatham House.
This is one of the policy areas where President Trump has been fairly consistent. So we know that he is very much concerned about the U.S. trade deficit broadly, but within the European Union, Germany in particular, runs a large trade surplus with the United States. He has singled out Germany and the European Union as one of the targets that he wants to focus on reducing the trade deficit. But also what he's done, and that's quite interesting and new, is linking these economic and trade issues to security issues.
Now, one thing that all of this tariff and trade war talk has been about is China. President Trump is not happy about the way that China uses intellectual property and about market access. Is Europe putting any pressure on China?
Those concerns are also echoed by the Europeans. There is a great potential for the European Union and the United States to work together and confront the Chinese. However, what we're seeing in practice is that the United States, through their recent practices on the trade front, is hurting the transatlantic relationship, putting the Europeans against a wall, opening a door for the Europeans and the Chinese to cooperate together. And so there is talks between the Chinese and the Europeans, whereas in theory, really, it should be between the United States and Europe with regards to China's unfair trade practices. So very much a missed opportunity on that front.
He heads to Britain next, and Theresa May has courted President Trump. She wants a U.S. trade deal to make up for leaving the European Union. Can she have it both ways? Can she have regulatory alignment with Europe, as she's talking about, and have a deal with the U.S.?
If the U.K. remains aligned with the EU, then it can't really strike a very deep and comprehensive free trade agreement with the US that also covers any regulatory matters. The United States will want to know what the future UK-EU relationship is before they can agree to any terms of a potential US-UK free trade agreement.
Marianne Schneider-Petzinger. Now, their chanting might be off-key, but there's no mistaking the enthusiasm of England fans as their team plays in a World Cup soccer semi-final tonight, the first time since 1990. It's also expected to give a boost to the economy. Here's KPMG's chief UK economist, Yael Selfin.
Consumer confidence is likely to be high, spirits high, and therefore they're likely to spend more, at least on certain items. It's likely to be electrical retailers that are going to benefit with particularly TV sets and screens, but also football merchandise like the different gear, as well as anything to do with barbecues, beverages, etc., especially now with the warm weather.
Will it be enough, though, to provide a long-term lift in terms of Brexit turmoil and global trade worries?
What we need to bear in mind is, in terms of fundamentals, we still have relatively low increases in wages, so households' purchasing power remains relatively constrained. Therefore, there's a limit as to how much this boost is actually going to turn into additional spending and higher GDP growth. I can't see how it will be extended beyond the summer months, but this, even by itself, a very good boost for the UK economy.
Yael Selfin. Finally, if you love Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, illustrator Quentin Blake's original art is being auctioned today in London. Who's going to win that golden ticket? I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.